Welcome back to another episode of Work in Programming. This week, I'm joined by Mark Prince. Mark, would you mind giving yourself a quick introduction?
Hi, I'm Mark. I am a software engineer. I work at Quantum Mob, which is where I met Matt. I've been working at Quantum Mob for about 2 years now, and I'm so excited to talk more about it.
Sweet. What were you doing prior to working in, like, working as a programmer or a software engineer?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple of years before that sort of transition, I was working service jobs. I had worked retail, and then I was working as a line cook in a little pub on the Danforth that I really loved. But also I was like, I am approaching 30 and I think I need to make a change. Had a classic 29-year-old crisis. And so I started looking at different things, and I looked into digital marketing because my background is sort of creative. I was like, oh, marketing is creative. So I did a program at George Brown that was a year. And in that process, realized that I'm not very good at marketing and it doesn't actually interest me that much. Mm-hmm. But when it came to the digital stuff, I was like, I actually would love to be able to make more of this and do more web development. And so I started getting into that. And when I finished my digital marketing program, then I did a boot camp through U of T Continuing Studies. That was a 6-month boot camp. And then I got my first job as a software engineer at Quantum Mob.
It's kind of funny because you had a, it seems like you had a pretty smooth transition. And what was interesting, like, at least when I started working with you, is like, you were just super skilled. Like, I mean, just in general, I remember like being in awe of the amount of tests that you write, because it's just like super clean code and it's really well testable and everything's, it's just constantly going back and adding stuff and like improving. And like, I think you added more feedback on my PRs than like anybody from any previous job had ever done, which I like, you know, it's like an eye for like improvement. And I'm kind of curious, like, how do you think that you got there? Like, do you think that you learned all of those skills in the bootcamp, or do you think that you learned them on the job?
Well, first, let me say, that was lovely to hear. So nice of you to say those nice things. And I will say in turn that the encouragement that you gave me by just telling me you thought that I knew what I was doing and doing a good job was actually like much appreciated. And I didn't always feel like I knew what was going on. And so that kind of input was really amazing from someone with more experience. Thanks, Matt. You're great.
Oh, thanks.
To go back to your question, did the bootcamp give me everything that I know? Certainly not. Mm. I don't think any bootcamp can. I certainly had a good experience at the bootcamp I did, which I said was through U of T. It's actually sort of a white labeled bootcamp by a company called Trilogy Education that does bootcamps all through Canada and the States and places. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good curriculum. It was, you know, Node and React and things that translated really well to my first job. Mm-hmm. At the same time, like, it took a lot more than just following the bootcamp. And yeah. I think like I had to really be obsessed, you know, so I wasn't just doing the bootcamp. I was like trying to figure out as much as possible outside of that. And then in, you know, the first few months while I was working, before you came to Quantum Mob and before we met, like, mm-hmm. it was very much, you know, the kind of like first 6 months on the first job where I'm like freaking out all the time. And my routine every day was I would arrive in the neighborhood of the office about an hour before I needed to be there and sit in a Starbucks and spend an hour just like pre-working and researching things that I wanted to understand better, like before I showed up at the office to like start my day and look more like I knew what I was doing. Yeah. I think also open source really helped me. I actually still sometimes, but in the early days especially, I would just like look at the repos for frameworks we were using, like Next.js or like React, and I would just like find files in those repos that I felt like I could understand and be like, this is probably code that really works and people think is good. And I would literally like copy out files just to be like, this is what good JavaScript looks like. Let's see if we can figure it out. And so those are the kinds of things, you know, on top of my bootcamp experience and on top of the feedback I was getting at work, which was sometimes really excellent, that I feel like really helped me get my feet under me and feel like, you know, anything that people now say I am good at in coding, which on a good day I feel is true, and lots of other days I do not feel is true. But I would say like anything good that I know about coding came from those kind of activities of like diving into a bunch of code and being obsessed and just scared enough, you know?
I like the, it's kind of like that, I was going to try and relate on the idea of like being anxious about performance and then using that to kind of like help yourself learn more, but whatever. I think that's really cool. Like, it's funny because when I met you, I remember like you would come up to me at the end of the day and be like, Matt, like, are you seriously like staying till 7 on a Friday? Like, why don't you go home? So to think that you were coming off of like, you know, a solid like year of just like showing up an hour early and then staying at that time, I guess, did you still keep like a clean separation when you needed to? Like, did you go home on time in that? Or
I mean, certainly in the first few months that I was working, I did not have a lot of separation because I really did, you know, I think the first 6 months, the biggest difference was that I just didn't have experience with all the things that QuantumMob uses all the time. So in the first 6 months, it always just felt like people were saying things that I did not know what they meant, you know? And so those first 6 months, it was just always like going home and Googling things and stuff. But I think I've become a person who actually really encourages the people around me, I would say, to like stop working and go home and take a break. It's not that I never work past 5 p.m. or I never like spend any time coding at home. Like I enjoy it. I do all those things. But I also think what I didn't realize in the beginning is that it was never going to end. Like as part of this job, like you are always going to have some new framework, some new thing, some old thing that you just haven't come across and don't understand. There will always be something to work on and understand more and learn about.
Yeah.
So if you don't find that separation, then it's never going to end by itself, you know?
Totally. Like I actually kind of experienced that same thing, just like not looking at like even just like learning, but just like on the job, there's always going to be another project or another feature set or something that's going to come up. And if you really care about like proving yourself or like trying to like demonstrate some like skill level, and you do that in like an unhealthy way where you grind it out and you constantly try and like stay late and start early. And like the worst thing I think I ever did was like try to do polyphasic sleep to like not have to like, oh, if I can only sleep 4 hours, then I can definitely get this client work done way faster. And then they'll meet their deadline and they'll love me. Turns out that won't happen. And you'll just keep making yourself more and more miserable. And so like,
I think sounds like you needed people in your life to tell you to stop working.
Yeah. Yeah. I really did. Which I appreciated a lot at QM, like just having that kind of, I mean, just like it's a culture of people that actually care about the people and not just the product, you know, which I think is just, it's cool.
It is very cool, isn't it?
What were some of the early projects that like what was like brand new on your early projects, like when you came there? Cause like, I know that I think you did some of the React Native projects, right? Or were?
Not React Native.
Okay.
I mean, the things that I remember needing to learn when I first came on, I had no familiarity with TypeScript really. So I was pretty much learning that on the job. I had never used Next.js, and coming out of bootcamp really had no concept of server-side rendering, like what that meant even. And so I was really just conceptually figuring out what that meant.
Yeah.
I was fortunate that for my first couple months at a new job, I was at QuantumMob, I was working on an internal project. So there wasn't quite the same level of pressure or delivery pressure. And so there was a bit more flexibility to play around and get a little messier. But it was basically just these tools and frameworks like TypeScript, Next.js, probably others that I'm not thinking about right now. Probably I had very little concept of how authentication worked, things like that, that it really was a big part of the experience in the beginning was just, I didn't always know what people were talking about when they talked around me. And I think after the first half a year or so, I'm familiar enough with the things that are used often that most of the conversations I can follow along, you know, and that makes a huge difference. Like when you're sitting in an office and don't just feel like people are speaking a foreign language around you. That's one of the steps of adjustment for sure.
Yeah, totally. It's a good, I feel like that's a good feeling to have, you know, you don't feel like, or you don't feel completely lost. That's nice. Yeah.
I think that is universally a good feeling. I think everyone likes the feeling of not being totally lost.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the wanderlust people would disagree with me, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Totally. There's a lady that wrote a book and Eat, Love, Pray. And she went and found love by just absconding from society and, you know, went to a different country and all that wanderlust stuff. And then I'm pretty sure she like left that person that she met on that trip. And she has a whole beautiful story about how she fell in love with like her previous love prior to her dying and all that, like very, very emotional stuff. But I think it's kind of funny that like that book inspired so many people to like, just think like, yeah, I'm gonna like go discover the world. And then she's like, yeah, don't do that. That's not that great, you know?
And I could be completely wrong, but I think there was Eat, Pray, Love. And then she wrote another book. This is Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes.
Called Committed, I think. Like it was specifically about this relationship.
Yeah.
But also, Eat, Pray, Love got made into a Julia Roberts movie. And if I were thinking of like my goals in life, I would like Julia Roberts to play me.
Right.
I would like there to be a movie about me where I am played by Julia Roberts. So
I
really,
I see that.
I think Eat, Pray, Love worked out great.
Yeah, I think I'm just being a shit talker here. Like, I'm like, yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert, what were you saying? I love your TED Talk, but I took the wrong message from that TED Talk, I think.
Is there ever a right message from a TED Talk? Isn't it more just a feeling? Aren't you supposed to just walk away sort of floating a little bit?
Inspired. Kind of forget what you just heard about. No.
Yeah, I don't go to a TED Talk for knowledge, you know. I go to it for the feeling that I've lost weight, you know that.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah, this is fun. How's remote doing for you? I'm sure that's been a big change, as it has been
Absolutely.
For all of us.
Absolutely. Yes, it has been a change. I mean, I think it was the worst at the beginning because I had never tried to work remote, really. You know, the concept was pretty foreign to me. Like I say, previous jobs in my previous life, I worked at like a cafe or as a cook in a pub. There was no working from home. You can't cook the hamburger at home. So in previous jobs, I'd never gotten used to that. And then even as a dev, I had never used work from home. Like my job did allow it sometimes, but I was like, I want to be in the office. Like I want to see the people.
Yeah.
And therefore I was in no way set up in my apartment. I did not have a desk in my apartment. I had just none of the tools you need to be able to do this comfortably. Yeah. A big part of it was just figuring out a setup at home and learning not to spend like my entire day eating chips. Like definitely the thing I've gotten better at is sometimes I write more code and eat fewer potato chips.
I like it. It's a good balance, you know. You want to like keep it balanced. You don't want to all potato chip, but sometimes, you know, you want to take a break.
There is a right proportion of potato chips in a person's life, you know.
Yes.
I think it's called the golden ratio or something. I know.
The nacho principle. This is more banter than in typical episodes. I will tell you that.
I love banter. I love my, do you ever watch The West Wing? That's one of my favorite shows.
Okay. What's The West Wing about?
Well, it's set in the White House. It's about a president of the United States and his staff. And it's sort of this liberal fantasy where all the people who work in the White House are left wing, very dedicated to their jobs, very intelligent, very smart, very responsible, very likable. Just a lot of the things that we haven't per se always seen in the world.
Huh.
And they all talk fast and they're funny. And I love when people talk fast and are funny. It's slightly off topic. I don't know if I can really connect the West Wing to working in tech, but I still think that all of your listeners should watch that show.
All right. Well, that's enough of a reason. Well, okay. So like, do you think anything from your previous life, as you put it, enabled you to be better as a software engineer? Because I feel like a lot of new grads come out from like university, and not all, but some come out and don't really know what the fuck they're doing and have to figure it out, right? And that's kind of like most of us, I'd say. But I do think that like you picked up things faster than some new grads would. I don't know where this is sounding like really like loaded for some reason. You look shocked, but I don't know. Like, do you think that anything that like happened in the past before might've like enabled you to like,
first I'll say that a few years ago when I got back into coding, I wasn't going 100% from scratch. When I was around junior high age, I guess, I did used to code. My dad, when I was pretty young, got me into BASIC. And then when I was a little older, he showed me Visual Basic. And that was my early introduction to coding. I remember once for my sister's birthday, I made her an application that was supposed to predict the weather. I guarantee you it was 1,000,000,000% accurate. It was great. And then as I got into high school, I turned into sort of an artsy kid and turned away from all that. And definitely I can imagine an alternative history for myself where I just stuck with coding. And now I was rich because that was a great career path I was on, which I abandoned to become a classical music major. But anyway, I think, yeah, I worked jobs that were very social. And I think I am by nature a pretty like introverted, shy person. And I do not think I would be the talker that I am today without the experience of like working in a cafe, working in a bar, just working in these really social settings where like you need to get out of your shell because you are already in the place where people get out of their shell.
Yeah.
I think too that working in a kitchen is like intense project management, you know? I feel like I wrote this blog post like years ago. And I think I titled it like everything I know about completing a project I learned from working in kitchens. And it really is true because you need to think in like fast real time about delivering, about like quality versus speed of output, about like, you know, the longer it takes, the grumpier the customer is. And at some point there are diminishing returns there where it doesn't matter how good it is. You just took too long. I really think that working in a kitchen, which is not actually something I'm very naturally suited to, like that was, I'm not a great cook if we're being very honest, but I really think it taught me a lot about just like delivering something. Like if you can deliver hamburgers to 50 people, then you can deliver a good product, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think like, yeah, like the urgency, I like the social piece because one of the things that I was going to say is like, you're definitely like the type of person that makes the office like more enjoyable to be in, you know? Cause like for instance, like when I started, like we were on a project where we were going to a client office and it was very stressful for a lot of us. And there's just like a lot of expectations. and you were always like calm, cool, and collected, you know, and even if you were like stressed out, you didn't like make other people feel stressed out. And if anything, like you helped us like keep collected, which I think was really cool. And so, yeah, I feel like if it came from being, you know, working in a kitchen, then that's good experience. Cause like, I think like a big thing is like a lot of people try to get into programming or whatever, and they think like nothing that they've ever done is applicable. You know, it's a skill that you have to learn. Like there's like programming or whatever, but like all the other stuff that you have to do is like the stuff that, you know, a computer science grad is going to come in and then they're going to know how to like, you know, write a couple lines of Java and like, you know, make a cool, like, you know, you might even do some really cool stuff in your undergrad, but a lot of us come out and like, we're just not as socially adept, I guess. Like I'm just like shitting on undergrads. This is basically what this podcast has turned into. It's like, yeah, you know, university sucks.
Like, I mean, it's honestly, okay, I'll talk about my undergrad too, because like I say, my undergrad was a Bachelor of Music.
Yeah.
Not the most career-oriented move on my part. I understand the reasons why I chose that at the time. I have no regrets, but I probably wouldn't do it again. Mm-hmm. But I do think that apart from, you know, giving me a diploma that basically set me up for no job ever, music was a great degree in terms of those kind of life skills that you end up using in a real job, because I was focused on performance. So everything I did, especially in the later years, was, you know, basically working in teams, like chamber music, groups of four or five people, or I played in an orchestra. Mm. Like it was all very collaborative. It was performing. So a lot of my time was dedicated to, you know, having a lot of music on the go to learn, and really more than I could possibly be fully prepared for. And so it's always like managing your time and figuring out how to be just prepared enough and have the baseline skills so that you can walk onto that stage when you need to and get it done, even if you don't feel ready. Yeah. And like quite a lot of life is like that, actually, just like managing your time to be just ready enough for everything that you need to do. So That's my little positive spiel about undergrad. Now we don't have to feel bad about shit talking undergrad more.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. It makes me feel better.
When I do something like this where I'm like just talking to someone, but also aware that it might be listened to or recorded, I go into this mode, which I probably took from my undergrad, where I'm like just kind of turned on. I have no idea what I'm saying right now. Like if you ask me in 5 minutes, it will be a full blank what has happened between us just now. But you know what? Sometimes you just keep going. It's great.
Oh yeah. I like that. All right, let's keep going. What are you into like recently? Like what are you getting into for fun? Or like with like is there anything you're getting into for fun with programming?
I mean, right now, I would say just trying to give myself a bit of an overview of languages that are out there. Okay. I got the physical, actual Rust book, because Rust is a language that really interests me. And when it's possible to get a book for something, I like to do that so I can get off my screens. Yeah. Often books are not the best resource for these things, but the Rust book is good. And so I'm like making my way through the Rust book, learning some like memory management concepts that I have no background in, but it seems like people know about. Okay. And I'm like, cool.
That seems pretty sweet.
I also like sometimes rock Pluralsight in the background while I'm doing things. Mm-hmm. So Pluralsight is teaching me a bit about Go. In my life right now, I've got kind of a Go versus Rust happening. I really like just learning about languages, even if I won't necessarily use them very much. And that's true of like real languages too. Mm. Like when I was, you know, in like junior high, I had so many like complete idiot's guide to Spanish, complete idiot's guide to French, complete idiot's guide to. It was just like, I've never gotten far enough with any of those languages to really be fluent in them, but I like getting the beginner level of all of them. And I'm doing that a bit with coding now too.
Right. That's pretty cool. I mean, if you got thrown into France somehow and you had to survive, you could actually, they probably just speak English to you, but that aside, if we weren't living in the society that we live in now and you were tossed into a situation where you had to count in French, un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, you'd be like, nailed it.
And they'd be like, what does nailed it mean? And I'd be like, damn it, I forgot to keep speaking French.
Those are all of the French words that I actually know. And then everything else is just sentences I've memorized, you know? It's like, comme ci, comme ça. You know?
I can tell that if you and I both showed up in France, that everyone there would love us.
Yes. What are you up to lately at work? Anything new?
I mean, these days, a lot of accessibility.
Oh.
So Quantum Mob, maybe your listeners know, is like an agency. There are a variety of clients. Mm-hmm. I'm right now working at, they're on a big push right now to meet some accessibility compliance. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning a lot about working with screen readers, mm-hmm. which is new for me, and all the various tools that one uses to get an application up to spec for accessibility.
Yeah, could we talk about that? I'm actually kind of curious because like my experience with accessibility is like, all right, make sure to use the semantic HTML and like get things, you know, build things like the best way that you're supposed to. And then there's like Axe and a few other tools that you can use to like test things, right? You know, it's funny, like people always talk about like, we need to make sure this is accessible to like a screen reader. And so then a lot of the time you add like tab index 1, 2, 3, and then you realize you're not supposed to do that. And so like, I feel like, could you explain briefly like how you'd actually use a screen reader? Because I think that might actually be like something that most people listening to this probably don't actually know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, dive in is kind of like your laptop, your phone, they have screen readers. Mm-hmm. And when you first turn it on, in my experience, it is very disorienting. And so then once your phone has been yelling at you for a few minutes and you have really been struggling to figure out how to turn off the screen reader so that your phone will stop yelling at you, then you will Google how to actually navigate using your screen reader, and then it will start to go much better. But I would say the thing about all this accessibility work that we're doing is like, at its best, the work that we're doing to make a site accessible for a screen reader is just making the code better, because the screen reader obviously cannot see visually what you've done to make your site make mm-hmm. sense. The screen reader is relying on the underlying structure of your code. And, you know, the best work that we do to make it easy to navigate is just simplifying and using semantic HTML and just making the structure of the page actually reflect its meaning mm-hmm. and the content of that page, which I think is great. I think, you know, as you commented with the tab indexes, at its worst, accessibility work is just trying to slap on these really misguided band-aids to try to get the screen reader that you don't understand to read something different. Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, there's this constant tension of like, is what we need right now like the quickest patch possible? Or is what we need right now, do we have the time to actually make this code better in a way that will help the screen reader and the people reading the code and ourselves and future devs? And, you know, it's a little idealistic, but mm-hmm. when I really love the accessibility work, it's because it is not just making a site more accessible, which mm-hmm. is important by itself, but it's actually just making the code better in literally every way.
Awesome. I love that.
I'm not sure if that was a concrete answer to your question, but
it answered it. It was like the feel good equivalent, you know? And also like, it makes more sense because it's like what you're saying is like, you know, don't like accessibility doesn't have to be hard. Like the language, HTML, okay, people can say it's actually a markup language, so it is a language. Anyways, the language was developed to be like readable and parsable. Like it's meant to be parsed by machines, right? It just happens that we style it after the fact. And then like if we go in and like fuck with it a bunch to like make everything, to make things look better, we fuck with the code and like we make the HTML like just very convoluted and confusing. Like that's our fault, you know? It's like, maybe just like simplify things. And like, yeah, like what you guys are doing is like a little bit, like maybe the accessibility isn't like the coolest thing in the world, but the point is that it doesn't have to be, because you're actually just fixing the things and maybe it's like cleaner code as a result. I like that. I like the answer is what I'm saying.
What I do like about front end development, like working more on a front end side, is that you are just like very concretely trying to engage people with the work you are doing. Mm-hmm. And like you are so close to the public as users. So I'm like, you know, this, the accessibility work, like it's, I mean, it's not that it's this constant inspiring, like I'm overjoyed, like the joy flows through my fingers, yeah. But it's very just easy to be like, no, I'm doing this so that real people in the world can engage with what I am creating right now, yeah. Which isn't that kind of always the goal, like for coders and artists and just actualized humans. I don't know why I've gotten to this space right now of like aspirational space. I'm like, I mean, we were talking before, it is like February in a pandemic right now. And basically my day-to-day life feels very hard to engage. Mm-hmm. It's like a rough time. It's like a kind of depressing time. Yeah. So I think I almost need to give myself these little like pep talks about the work that we do, yeah. And be like, no, you know what? There is something like genuinely inspiring and fulfilling and objectively good, mm-hmm. about what's happening right now.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, like, that's good. That's impressive. That's what we need. The world needs more positivity. I think the world is like kind of slowly descending into nihilism, as we were saying earlier.
Oh yeah. I think, you know, I need positivity. And for almost a year, I have been the only one in this apartment all the time. So if there's going to be any positivity, definitely I need to provide it for myself.
Yeah.
So here we go.
It's weird because I left QM like a year ago, but it feels like I've been gone for like a decade.
No, I think at this point, anything more than a year ago is a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just true. I think we've all just collectively, we're just going to revise the calendars afterward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Congratulations, you are now 40.
This is fun. Like,
isn't that fun? I would keep chatting for another few minutes just because it's talking to someone.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we like didn't cover that we should talk about?
There's like the one, it's the one question that I like at the end. And it's just like, if you were to be talking to someone like yourself right before you started, or before you even started learning, perhaps, like what advice would you have for them? So somebody who's like, for instance, like they're, you know, working at a kitchen or something like that, or right now there's a lot of people who are out of the job, but they want to make a career change. They haven't necessarily coded. Maybe they've like played around with it before or whatever, but like maybe they have a bit of background like you did, but maybe they don't. Like what advice would you have for somebody just getting started?
Sure. I mean, I would say, first of all, that it is totally possible. I mean, I at various points, and especially when I finished my bootcamp and was looking for a job, mm-hmm. there were times where it was very discouraging. And even though now I can look back and say, actually, I found a job pretty quickly, like there wasn't a long delay. Mm-hmm. At the time, it didn't feel quick. It felt like every day was just like, this isn't going to work and I'll need to go back to doing what I was doing before. And like the general sort of job hunting feelings of like, I am worthless.
Yeah.
But actually, despite all those feelings that I had along the way, I am sort of a success story. I really did go from working a few years ago in these service jobs to deciding that I wanted to get into coding and was able to make that happen pretty quickly, mm-hmm. which is great. So I love being a success story. Yeah. If you need a success story, they are out there. I am apparently one of them. Other advice is, I mean, if you're going to do a boot camp or something, mm-hmm. just be smart about it. Because again, I had a good experience with my boot camp, and because I went from working like 30 hours a week in relatively low paying jobs to a full-time job pretty quickly, then I made back the bootcamp money very fast. Mm. So I'm like, yes, worth it. But it is not worth it for everyone. Mm. So be smart about it. Treat it as a big investment. Don't walk into your bootcamp not having used any free resources to help yourself know whether you hate coding, for example. Like, use free code camp, use something like that, and just get yourself started. Go far enough that you have had the experience of writing code and there being a bug and you needing to figure out what is wrong to get your code to do what you want it to do, because that's going to be your whole life. And if that process, you just hate it and you are not motivated to find the problem, that's good information to know before you drop thousands of dollars on this. I would also just say that with any new job, it's intimidating. It's intimidating to walk in and feel like you don't know what you're doing. And maybe you feel like a lot of people are younger than you and they do know what they're doing. And that's also sort of intimidating. But really, I would say engineering, it's very much sort of on the go. It's like everyone is needing to learn a lot all the time. The people who stop learning, their knowledge gets out of date, like really very quickly. It's always in flux. And if you just dive into that, you know, ignore what RuPaul would call your inner saboteur, just dive in, just treat every problem as like, I'm not sure if I know the exact best way to do this, but I am going to do my darndest to find a solution and ask for the help I need to just get it over the finish line. If you can do all that, then you are doing it. There is no magic to coding. Yeah. There is nothing that you cannot do in it. So don't let all the like bro egos around you be threatening, because everyone's just making it up, not making it up. Learn how to code like real code, but then treat it like you're making it up. Also, I would say, apparently I like this question.
I like it.
I think just like find, I mean, I think a lot of devs have observed that the job day to day is just alternating between the feeling of like, I am the greatest coder in the world. I can do anything. I am amazing. I am brilliant. Every so often there's that kind of euphoria. And then other times you're like, I am an imposter. I am a poser. I know nothing about engineering. I know nothing about how the internet works. And people are paying me to do this thing that I am fully unqualified to do. That's a very common feeling too. And I would just say like, those cycles are pretty normal. Some of the lows will get better, but also you will just learn more things that you don't know. Those moments where you feel like really on top of the world, like there's some truth to that too, even though there's like an ego in it that's not real. And obviously soon enough, you're gonna find a bug that will just tear that down for you. But like, I think a lot of engineers could describe like that early moment where you like wrote your first code and you know, you just like typed these like letters and words that you don't really understand. And then you like figure out how to run it. And all of a sudden something shows up on your screen and you're like, I am a god, like I am a wizard, you know? And like, those are the kind of like euphoric moments. And I'm like, that is real. Like what we do really is kind of the closest thing to magic. And you gotta like keep holding on to those moments. Cause I just think, no, I grew up like reading a lot of fantasy, like wizards and stuff. And, you know, definitely I was about the right age to be kind of the same age as Harry Potter, except that I never got a Hogwarts letter. Still very devastated. I'm still very angry at Dumbledore, but I forgive him because he's like a fucking gay icon. But I get to do this. Like, code is actually super magical. It's the closest thing that I have to being a wizard. And it really is so full of possibility. And you really do get to just like make stuff out of the air with your bare hands. And it's so freaking cool. Yeah. And that's what I have to say about coding. So
mic drop. That was awesome.
Don't forget it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't have anything to add. That's brilliant. Cool. Normally I just like, you know, what do you call it? It's like the whole like, you know, like, oh, that's the cool thing you just said. I'm going to like mansplain it back to you in my dumber words, which I won't do because that was so great. And I feel bad for always doing these things. I'm like really like learning my, like listening back to myself after recording myself makes me hate myself. Like I realize all of my, this is just like more the constant like positive negativity thing. It's kind of like a fun thought, but it's just like, I notice all my quirks. So like I interrupt people a lot and then I'll like repeat what people say. Like, it's like, I always thought like, oh yeah, mansplaining, whatever. That's like, I don't do that. I'm a cool guy. I'm a nice guy. And I'm like, no, that's just like, I do that. Literally, like that's what I do, is I just repeat people's like previous statements, but like, as if I'm like somehow adding to the conversation.
I mean, I think a little bit of that is just active listening. Like, isn't that a technique?
Maybe it is.
I assumed you were using your podcast technique on me.
Oh yeah. Maybe. No. Yeah, that was great though. Like, I think that, like, I really like the point about like, yeah, there's like the learning stuff. Like, I think that's really awesome. Like, that's inspiring, but like showing up and then being able to realize that like, okay, yeah, like not everyone, like just because you don't know something or like you feel like you don't know something doesn't mean that like you actually don't know it. Cause if you just did something, then you did do it, you know, like give yourself some credit, I guess, is what you're getting at, which is cool.
That's a good bit of advice too. Give yourself some credit. Always give yourself some credit.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit, Matt.
Oh, thanks, man.
This has been really fun.
Yeah. It was nice chatting, Mark.
It's been great chatting with you too.
Sweet. All right. That's the end of the podcast.